Bob Jones University presents Word of Truth with Dr. Bob Jones, Sr. As founder of the world's largest fundamental Christian university and a preacher who loved people, Dr. Jones influenced thousands to come to the Savior. Even until the time he went to live with his Lord, his practical insight into the commandments of God and the hearts of men helped people all over the world find the answers to life in the Word of Truth.
Therefore they that were scattered abroad went everywhere preaching the word. Now that's very significant. You know, we're going to call attention to something in the next verse, which we're now going to read, that seems to be a little different, but it isn't a little different. Now I'm going to try to tie the two together if I can. Then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ unto them. See? Now they preach the word, they preach Christ. Now, the only way that you can preach Christ is to preach the Word. Now, that's the only way you can preach Him. All you know about Christ is what the Bible says. Now, there's very little known. His name appears in history, Josephus, one or two places. But nothing very definite about Him. Nothing that's reliable, nothing that's authoritative. All we know about Jesus Christ is what the Bible tells us. So, if you preach the Word, you preach Jesus, the Christ. Now, Jesus means the Savior. Christ is the Anointed One, see? Now, if you don't believe that Jesus is the Christ, you'll die in your sins. Why? Because the Jesus who died and was not raised from the dead is not the Christ that can save. Now, He has given assurance unto all men that He has raised Him from the dead. The fact that God raised His Son from the dead is all you need to know, that Jesus Christ is able to save unto the uttermost all who come to God by Him. Now, if you can lay your life down and take it again, like Jesus said He did, then you could be a Savior too, but you can't do that. You can lay your life down, but you can't take it again. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, was the only person in all the history of the human race that could lay His life down and then take up His life. Now, nobody else has ever been able to do that. Now, of course, men have been raised from the dead. Lazarus was raised, but he didn't take up his own life. And nobody ever will be able to do that except Jesus Christ. Now, He's the one person of all the race and of all history that ever has or ever will be able to do what He did. Now, Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. Now, the evidence of the resurrection of Jesus Christ is that we'll stand, as a lawyer told me, in any court of justice in the world. It's a type of evidence that could not be framed. It's a fact. Now, the resurrection of Jesus Christ is a fact. It's just as much a fact as the signing of a Declaration of Independence in America. It's just as much a fact in the history of the world as was the landing of the Puritans in New England. It's just as much a fact that Robert E. Lee led the Southern Army and went down in honor and integrity and was a wonderful character. Now, the Son of God really, definitely, one time, came from heaven to earth and was born of a virgin. Now, that's a historical fact. All right? He went about doing good. The Bible says, never a man spake like he spake. Nobody in all the history of the world ever talked like he talked. He did what nobody else was ever able to do. Then one time, when the world thought it was killing him, and all the hatred of religious fanaticism, all of these men who prided in that ecclesiastical position that stirred up a rabble to put Jesus Christ on a cross thought they were doing it. But they didn't do it. He said, you can't kill me. They were murderers in the sight of God. The thing that a man would do if he could do, he's done. They would have killed Jesus if they could. But they couldn't kill him. He said, no man takes my life from me. I lay it down on myself. I have power to lay it down. I have power to take it again. Now, the men that put him on a cross and stirred up the mob, they were murderers. They meant to kill, and they thought they were killing. But they never could. He went on there, and when he reached the end where he cried, it's finished, he cried with a loud voice. It wasn't the voice of defeat. It wasn't the faint cry, it's finished. The cry that he went out that day shook the foundations of hell. He cried above all the noise of a hissing, cursing, spitting mob, it's finished. The job's done. I came here to lay my life down for sinners. All right. Then he rose from the dead 3 days later. No man took his life from him. He laid down himself. He took it up again. All right. Now, Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ unto them. All right. They're everywhere preaching the word. What word did they have? The Old Testament. That's all the word they had. You know, the New Testament wasn't finished. Now, when the New Testament was finished, there was no longer any need for signs. Now, they had the signs with the apostles and the early church, all those signs, to show that what the Old Testament said about Jesus Christ was so. The New Testament hadn't been written. Now, if you further you go in the New Testament, the less emphasis is given on signs. Less and less and less and less, they say. Now, he said to the Jews, you have a sign that Jesus Christ is the Messiah, and it's a sign of the prophet Jonah. What was the prophet Jonah's sign? The man was swallowed by a sea monster. He wasn't digested. And the sign that God gave the Jewish people about Jesus Christ was that he was crucified, buried, swallowed up, but was not digested. Jonah got out 3 days later, not digested. That's a miracle. Now, Jesus Christ came out of the grave. The same person went in. He went in that grave without his blood, which he had shed on the cross for sinners. He came out of that grave with his flesh and his bone and a divine risen life. So he said, that's a sign to you. Just like Jonah wasn't digested, so he wasn't digested. His body was laid in a tomb, but his body came out. His body did not see decomposition. It came out of that tomb. Now that's a wonder of wonders and such a blessed thing. All right. Now the word of God is the announcement of a fact. In the beginning God created the heaven and the earth. That's the word of God. He has a creation, he has an earth, he has a star. How'd it happen? God created the heaven and the earth. The Bible tells you that. Anybody wants to know why this world's here, just open your Bible and read it. God created the heaven and the earth. Now, wait a minute. That word to create, they'll tell you, Hebrew scholars will tell you, is a word that means he made it out of nothing. See? All right? I want to know how the world was made. It was made out of nothing. That's what he says. Didn't have any material to make it out of. God created the heaven and the earth. God is the only person that can create something out of nothing. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. All right? Now, it tells you, you want what's the matter of the world? And the world without form and void. Evidently, something happened to it. And there are inferences in the Bible, not clearly stated, that this had something to do with the fall of angels. All right? You want to know how the earth got back in order after that? God took it up in his chaos. He did not create it waste and desolate. According to the prophet, when God made this earth, he made the perfect earth, and he made a perfect heaven. And then sin came, and the earth became chaotic as a result of sin. It's probably the fault of angels. And then God brought order out of chaos. All right, all down the Old Testament, the Bible kept telling us that man was a sinner, and Jesus Christ was coming, the Messiah was coming, Lamb slain the foundation of the world. Old prophet said he was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our iniquities, the chastisement of our peace was upon him, with his stripes we're healed. On down they came, kept telling us what was going to happen. All down. The record of what God was going to do was written in the Old Testament. All right? The history of the race, yes. The history of the Jews, yes. God's dealing with Abraham, yes. But all in the Old Testament, God kept telling what he's going to do. I'm going to do so and so. I'm going to do so and so. I'm going to do so and so. And then one day, after he'd instructed them for generations in bringing their offerings and laying them on the altar, so God would pass over the sins of the people. They present their offerings. Their righteousness was no good. They presented this offering to God. And God accepted the offering they presented. Then one day a person was born. And the Bible says clearly that he was born of a virgin. That Mary was a virgin. And this baby had a virgin mother. And the Bible just is clear on that as can be on anything. And then one day when this little baby grew up, nobody knows much about him, except he is in the temple and he's 12 years old. We don't know much about him. Those silent years of Jesus. God didn't see fit to tell us, but he didn't neglect the essential things. Then one day when John was baptizing down there and the Holy Spirit was moving, Jesus Christ appeared on the scene. He said, there's the Lamb of God. Look at him. Behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. Now what's that? Why, that's clear. You've been bringing your lambs and your lambs and your lambs and your lambs and making your offering. Now, yonder's God's lamb to be offered on an altar, on a cross, for the sins of the world. Yonder it is. Just as you brought your lamb, God passed over your sins. But now here's the Lamb of God that's going to die on the cross to put away sin and to make God just and to justify everybody that accepts Jesus Christ. All right. Now then, they went everywhere preaching the word. It's all important we preach the word. is all important, like I told somebody the other day. Now, God tells me, go preach the gospel. But God tells me, don't you give any recognition, Christian recognition, to any man who doesn't believe the Bible is the Word of God, doesn't believe in the virgin birth, doesn't believe in the incarnation, all the doctrines of Christ. Don't you recognize him as a Christian. Now, if I go under the sponsorship of a preacher who doesn't believe in the virgin birth of Jesus Christ, I'm violating the Scripture. I'm doing what God told me not to do. If I knowingly go under the sponsorship of anybody who doesn't believe that Jesus Christ was raised from the dead, I'm doing what God told me not to do. Now, remember that. I might be a lawyer. I might invite all the lawyers to my home for dinner. I'm a lawyer, and they are lawyers, and I bring them in, Jews, Catholics, Protestants, everybody. I might be a doctor. I might invite all the doctors in, Jewish doctors, or Gentile doctors, Roman Catholic doctors, Unitarian doctors, Trinitarian doctors, bring them all in. It's a dinner party. But he says, if I go out and invite a man that's an antichrist into my home, giving him recognition, bring him to a party, giving him recognition as a Christian, putting him on the plane, I put a man that believes in the virgin birth, the incarnation, all that. If I do that, I'm a party to his evil deeds, and I'm patting the antichrist on the back. Now, God tells me to preach the word, but tells me how to preach it. Preach it to the man. But don't you let that man sponsor you and give him the recognition. If you do, you're violating the Scripture, the Word of God. And you can't fix it. You can reason all you please about it, but it isn't so. Now, here they preach the Word. Now, Philip went out to preach Jesus, the living Word. And, of course, he brought all the Bible in, too. Jesus had already come. The Old Testament prophet said, he's coming, see. And he did come. And now these early Christians went around preaching the Word, telling people Jesus Christ was raised from the dead and so forth and so on, giving them the facts of the case. Now, Philip comes along to preach Jesus Christ as a Savior, see. The anointed one, that's what Christ means, the anointed one. He went out to preach Christ. Now, I can come along here and say, now, here's the Bible. Jesus Christ was born of a virgin. He was God incarnate. Or give all the facts, you know. And I'm preaching the Word. Then I turn around here and say, now, here's Jesus Christ. I've shown you in the Word that he died on the cross and raised me dead, able to save. Now, I want to ask you something. Here he is. I want you to take him as your Savior. You can preach the Word, and the Word tells you about Jesus. But when you go to preaching to sinners to accept Jesus, you preach Jesus Christ as the Savior of man, see? All the historical facts are clear, and you show him the Word and all that. And so we get to this point now. They went out preaching the Word. I do that. You a Christian, you do that. But then this man went down to tell him, I want you to accept Jesus. He's going out bringing the converts, you see, to get people to come to Jesus. And he used to get them to come to Jesus of the Bible. That's the only Jesus we have. You are not preaching Jesus unless you preach the Jesus Christ of the Bible. That's the only way to preach it. Now let's see that. Let's understand it. Lord God, help us to be faithful Christians, faithful to the Lord Jesus Christ. Understand the Word and give the Word to people, but help us to preach Jesus as the only Savior and bring people to Jesus Christ. Hear us in this prayer and keep us ever faithful. We pray in his precious name. Amen.
You've been listening to Dr. Bob Jones, Sr., internationally known evangelist and founder of Bob Jones University, who during his earthly ministry was one of God's great warriors for the faith. If you know you need to be academically and spiritually challenged, you know enough to succeed as a student at Bob Jones University. Why not take the first step on the journey to that success? Call 1-800-BJ-AND-ME. Ask for a free personal opportunity profile. In South Carolina, call 242-5100.